This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
National security threat? Some think so. That was the conversation on the Hill. Wow. One that they haven't really had in 50 years. Did anything come out of that conversation? We'll talk about it. Besides flying objects and trying to identify what they are or what they aren't, we are deep in the middle of COVID cases rising. I know I hate to even utter that. In New York City, they have put out the high alert. Hospitalizations are starting to rise, and it is when we officially top over the 1 million mark as far as deaths are concerned since COVID hit over 2 years ago. Kate Delaney, as always, happy to be the skipper of this ship, even if we're in some choppy waters. There were some political fallouts of the day, because Tuesday was the road to the midterms, the primaries, some big finishes in Pennsylvania. Looks like they are definitely doing the recount thing. And why is that? Because that's what happens in Pennsylvania if you don't get enough of the vote. And it's Dr. Oz and Dave McCormick who are locked in the battle for who will represent on the Republican side in the race for the Senate, for a Senate seat from Pennsylvania, coming up in November. And it's just too close to call. And because of that, and the fact that they trigger a count that will start on Wednesday. Not the same thing on the Democratic side. That vote was in, and Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman fended off his challengers. But on the Republican side of things, much, much different. And it's an interesting race because Fetterman definitely has some fans. And in the primary, there were enough Democrats certainly that came out. But on the Republican side of things, there were more people that came out just purely in the count. Just purely in that. And across the board in other states, there were some interesting, I think, signs of maybe what's to come. You know, you have a far-right election denier who really relied heavily on an endorsement from the former president, who also in Pennsylvania ends up now facing the state attorney general there, who was unopposed for the Democratic nomination. That's a big seat for governor in Pennsylvania. So the guy who got the endorsement from Donald Trump is the guy who blew out the competition, State Senator Doug Mastriano, who built a large following. He was seeking to overturn President Biden's win in Pennsylvania, and that has always been the way that he's felt, and that's what he's talked about along the way. And he got the former president, Donald Trump's last-minute backing on Saturday, and that helped him. Will he prevail in the general election or not? One of the things that he's pledged that he would do is he would reset the state voter rolls so everyone would have to register. That was a big message in his campaigning, and it resonated with a lot of different people who are set up with the same politics as usual. Scandal hit Representative Madison Cawthorn, and he conceded to Chuck Edwards in North Carolina. This was an interesting race to watch. The first term congressman fell short, even though there was a push from the former President Trump, again, who encouraged voters to look past his string of missteps, and that's how he put it. The 26-year-old lost, even with that last-minute appeal from Trump, who encouraged voters, like I said. I mean, look, he had too many run-ins with the law. The claims that he used cocaine, engaged in orgies, images of him wearing lingerie, gyrating naked on top of another man in bed. He could not overcome that, even with the former president pushing for him and saying boys will be boys, in a sense. And he made some missteps. Can't you look past that? That did not work. And there were other races to look at that I think will be interesting, again, when we get to the midterm. But Pennsylvania is a heavy, important state when it comes to presidential elections. So watching the drama play out in that state has been very, 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 very interesting. All right, speaking of drama, we certainly have plenty of it and had plenty of it in the sense that talking about UFOs really gets people hot under the collar, and others who think, why not? Listen, remember the pyramid-shaped objects that were showing up in a video last year? And what they're saying is that is probably drones. But the Pentagon did say there are about 400 UFO encounters. We want to know what's out there as part of what their theme was. So that's a big increase from the 144 that was talked about in a major report that was released last year. There's always this heavy billing of what are we going to talk about? What is going to happen with the UFO report? And then it falls flat. It's like a tease headline from a cheap magazine when you're going through the supermarket checkout. And you look up and you see alien abducts a horse and a man from Wyoming or whatever crazy story it is, but then the story has nothing to do with that, or it's exaggerated. But here, I think they were tiptoeing around a few things. Indiana Representative Andre Carson, who is the Democratic chairman of the House Intelligence, Counterterrorism, Counterintelligence, and Counterproliferation Subcommittee, called the hearing. He was the one who called it. And this hasn't happened in 50 years, focusing on what's out there. And he did say that these are potential national security threats and they need to be treated that way. And for too long, the stigma associated with unidentified flying objects has gotten in the way of good intelligence analysis. Pilots avoiding reporting are laughed at when they do, so they don't want to do it. I think it was important to say that. Does it change anything? I don't know. I mean, look, you had Scott Bray, the Deputy Director of Naval Intelligence, telling the House panel that this spike was due of the 400 reports to a reduction in people making fun of people stepping forward to report whatever the incident is because of what we saw in 2021. So there are reports of sightings. It's more frequent. It's more continuous. And what he does say, and what he did say, is that he thinks they're mostly historic reports that are narrative-based from prior things that happened that people are only now coming forward with. So there may be fewer new accounts in the future. Yay. Is there aliens? Are there extraterrestrial beings? Who knows? What do you think? Send me your thoughts, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Mic drop next.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scent hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Sued by your family. Well, of course, this does happen all the time. Just ask any lawyer. They have some twisted cases they could tell you about. Guarantee it. Well, there's a couple in India. They're suing their son and daughter-in-law. Why? For not giving them grandchildren after 6 years of marriage. So, Sandhani and Sanjeev Prasad, who live in India, filed a petition seeking 50 million Indian rupees, which is about $643,000 in damages from their son, who's 35, and his wife, who's 31. Now, in the petition, the couple say they spent about 20 million Indian rupees, $257,000, raising their son, who is an only child. They say, look, we raised him, we educated him, we made him capable, we made him a pilot, which was very expensive. And they see people in their neighborhood playing with their grandchildren. They feel like they should also have one. They said they didn't marry their son and daughter-in-law off so they can live alone. So they said that in the next year, either give us a grandchild or give us compensation. And part of the thing is, there's no one to take care of them. And they say that's all parents wish to be grandparents one day. And in the culture, you know, that is part of what is assumed. But then they went on in their petition and their suit to say they bought a car for their son and daughter-in-law. They paid for their honeymoon, yada, 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 on and on and on and on. So what is interesting in India, so you know the background, is parents can claim a monthly allowance from their adult children under a federal law that seeks to protect parents and senior citizens who might not be able to take care of themselves. So there is that. But what will the court ultimately do? But here's what I say. Mic drop. Don't assume because you spent a lot of money on your child that they are going to give you grandbabies. Because we live in a world where that's not happening. People are having less children. People aren't getting married either. I mean, hey, they have their son married. In fact, the pandemic cut weddings, especially in the United States, lowest numbers since 1963. That's incredible. And part of that is because I think it's just that they postponed nuptials, right? That hey, we're not going to get married. We're not going to do the big old hookup if we can't make a big party of this thing. I think that's part of it. And it doesn't have to do with maybe avoiding getting married, although I started to also add that up. And I've lived a lot of places. Like many of you, I've experienced this incredible country and amazing people from coast to coast in the south and the north. I feel so fortunate to have spent time with so many wonderful people in this country. And I have carried friends along the way, and I realized when I started to look at those statistics that I have as many married friends as single friends. Some have kids, some don't, and on the single side, they don't want to get married. They maybe date or have a significant other, but they don't even live with them. They just don't want to get married. They don't want to deal with someone else's nonsense. I can't put up with it. I need to be single and independent. I'm so serious about that, right? I realize that. And a lot of them are guys and women, too. I mean, both. So how about that? But just out of more to the story, 46 states and our nation's capital saw a drop in marriages in 2020. Hawaii, California, New Mexico, New York, Louisiana, the biggest declines happening there. But I say part of that, part of it is because there are people that just want to be single. They don't want to compromise. They see what happens in some of the marriages they know. I think people, it's hard to not do that. I think people get influenced by the people around them, by what they see. If they see couples that really finish each other's sentences, that are really giving, compassionate, kind, give the other person space, whatever. They see good examples of it. It makes a difference. Now, this couple getting sued is crazy. I get that the parents, especially in that culture, hate that they don't have grandchildren. But suing your son because you don't have a, they don't have a, have a grandchild yet at this point, I don't know. I'm just saying. So as we fill in the blanks here, I like to call this odds and ends. We talk about what the buzz is. That's what this show is about, in your backyard and mine. And, of course, it's gas, it's inflation, it's what's happening politically. Because, listen, you know, what just happened in these primaries, it does affect you in your locality, whatever it is, suburb, rural area, city, wherever you hail from and you're listening to me right now. I say this, it doesn't matter what you want to label yourself to me. Some people are really proud about labeling themselves, and I get it, and you should if that makes you feel good. But I think it's about paying attention to who that representative is. Do you want them to represent you? Do you think they really are going to represent your interests when they're in Washington, especially if we're talking about that level? If you're talking about local, it's the same thing. I'm astonished that people don't pay more attention to what's going on with their city councils. If anything, what we saw during the pandemic is you want to know who's running things at City Hall. You want to know who the people are, the mayor is, the rest of the city council members, because it affects everything from where money's distributed, to potholes that are getting fixed, to zoning issues, to where you live. And maybe you don't want to live next to 25 different apartment complexes, but they're zoning them that way. You know, that's why, as much as I hear people say they hate politics, I get it. But if you get just a little bit involved and aware, it can make a very big difference in your life. So when we look at the tea leaves and we watch the people in Pennsylvania, if you're a Republican in Pennsylvania, do you want Dr. Oz to represent you? Do you think that he represents you in your best interest? Do you think that he's the best person for the job? Or do you think it's the hedge fund manager, David McCormick? Because this race is too early to call. They're going to have to do the count, and that's what's going to start on Wednesday, and it's going to be one of those two. And then one of those two is going to go up against the Democrat, and that's not going to be an easy race. So who is it that that represents your best interest? And that's why I think that race was neck and neck, because I think on the Republican side, they couldn't decide, and a lot of money was spent. Who has the best interest of the people there? That's what I would say. A sign of the times certainly is this. We know that in some businesses, people are getting laid off because of where we're headed, like print magazines and journalism, etc. That's really changed. So People Magazine, that's one of those. It's one of those magazines where you might not have ever subscribed to it. You might have picked it up at a doctor's office, but you see it. It's just always there. Do you know it's been around for 48 years? Yeah. Sexiest man alive. You always have that cover going on. Who doesn't glance at that? Of course you do when you're checking out. So because of people not buying it, their subscription base is way down. You know, how many people actually subscribe to People Magazine? The circulation is 2.5 million. So what do they do? They got to cut down staff. They got to offer lower subscriptions maybe. Got to figure out how are they going to handle that? How do you handle the change? I mean, it's a magazine that publishes weekly for 50 years. That's significant investment. They got to worry about advertising, all of that. How about Netflix? They were the only game in town. They started the whole streaming thing and were laughed at, made a fortune at it, and now everybody's in the streaming game. You get to get plus, 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 Paramount Plus, Disney Plus. Netflix is laying off 150 employees across the country, which seems low. It's 2% of their total workforce. But most of those cuts are happening in the United States, and tell that to one of the 150 people who are being cut. They're making all kinds of changes as a result of what now is happening in the world of streaming. It's called figuring it out. All right, stay with us as we climb a couple of other mountains coming up next.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. Simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
U.S. regulators have authorized a COVID-19 booster shot for healthy 5 to 11-year-olds. They hope the extra vaccine dose will enhance their protection as transmissions increase in portions of the country. The last hurdle? The CDC must decide whether to formally recommend the booster for this age group. Its scientific advisors will meet on Thursday. Senator Joe Manchin said his chief priority now is helping Ukraine win its war against Russia. That may throw President Joe Biden's stalled economic agenda even farther down the to-do list. The measure being considered would give $40 billion in aid to help the war-torn country fight off the Russian invasion. A final vote on the measure is expected later this week. Republicans like Rand Paul of Kentucky have delayed passage of the measure over concerns about how the money would be spent. This is USA Radio News. It keeps costing more to fill up.
The price of gas is soaring, with AAA reporting the national average price for regular jumped again overnight to $4.52 a gallon. That's too much for this Michigan man.
And that's crazy that people can't even get to their job. People can't get to their jobs. How are they supposed to feed their family? Something's not right.
That audio courtesy of NBC News. California drivers are getting hit the hardest, with prices now topping $6 a gallon on average. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden visited Buffalo, New York on Tuesday to honor the victims in Saturday's mass shooting. The Bidens visited the makeshift memorial near the Tops Market, where 10 people lost their lives. The President and the First Lady also met with the victims' families. UFOs mark the main topic on Capitol Hill Tuesday, where U.S. leaders discussed them for the first time in more than 50 years. This is USA Radio News.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications, in a variety of formats.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
They shut them down, but somehow they just keep coming back. This is a crazy story about yet another tunnel, a drug tunnel, a smuggling tunnel stretching from California to Mexico. So check this out. It was the length of about 6 football fields, just the facts, from Mexico to a warehouse in an industrial area in the United States. It's a secret passage, or was, from Tijuana. It's wild to see it from Tijuana to San Diego. It had rail, ventilation systems, electricity, reinforced walls, and it was discovered near San Diego's Otay Mesa border crossing. It's an area where there have been other tunnels in the past, in the last couple of decades. So it's unknown exactly how long the tunnel had been operating and exactly what drugs. How could we know that? There's no facts in that. You'd make up numbers. But they did seize over 1,700 pounds of cocaine, 165 pounds of meth, and 3.5 pounds of heroin in connection with this investigation. Those are the facts. 6 people from 31 to 55 were charged with conspiring to distribute cocaine. All, by the way, are Southern California people. The tunnel was one of the most fortified stretches of the border. So it shows you the limitation of when we talk about border walls and how do you stop this nonsense. So they're considered effective against small, terribly or crudely, awfully built tunnels. In fact, they have a name for them. They call them gopher holes. But when you have the sophisticated passages, because they have money and they have people that can do this, when they run deeper underground, it's very tough. So this latest passage was actually discovered Friday, last Friday. It went 1/3 of a mile to Tijuana. It was about 4 feet in diameter and 6 stories deep. 6 stories deep. And this is the problem. There's a serious meth problem in this country. Fentanyl, so deadly, so dangerous. Heroin. And they're typically smuggled through
official border crossings from Mexico because they're pretty small. They don't have an odor, and it's tougher to detect. Any Border Patrol agent would tell you that. Any DEA agent would tell you that. But these tunnels give smugglers an advantage of being able to carry big loads at really, really fast speed. So this opening and looking at this tunnel would blow your mind. Whatever search engine you have, just put it in. Drug tunnel recently found, Tijuana, California, and they found so many of these suckers. That's what I think is so odd, because they know on the other side, who's ever doing it, who's ever digging them, that they can get away with this. That, yeah, they might get caught, but how much money can they make and how many drugs can they run through before these sophisticated type tunnels actually are uncovered? They found about 15. In fact, it has been 15. That's an exact number. So just the facts, 15 tunnels on the California border with Mexico since 2006. And it's just wild to see it. And it's a narc tunnel. That's what it is. And they keep taking them down, but how many drugs get through before they're taken down? If it wasn't worth it, they wouldn't build the sophisticated tunnels. So on the other side of this, because it's nothing but money, 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 they have the money to and the manpower to continue to try to outfox whatever is happening to stop the drugs from coming in on the U.S. border. It just highlights the problem. You know, you don't win this war, or we're not winning this war. And how do you win this war? There's the $1 trillion question. This is sad. U.S. traffic deaths are the highest that they've been in 16 years. 43,000 people died on roads in 2021. Now, this is a just the facts statistic. It's from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. They started collecting fatality data information back in 1975. I think because of the pandemic, I don't know, have you noticed it? Are people driving like maniacs? Like, it's a pandemic. Things are screwed. The world is falling apart. There is some insane driving. I mean, I see it at least once a day. So to me, the risky driving type behavior that we're seeing absolutely was ratcheted up during the pandemic. Lots of speed, a lot of people not using seat belts, people going, you know, for strolls or drag races out of state, all that kind of stuff is happening. So Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says, look, we got a crisis on the roads. And they're talking about state and local governments, drivers, and safety advocates to try to figure out an effort to reverse the rising death trend. So how do you do that? Well, you have campaigns. You know, you can have campaigns about reckless driving. Here's what I don't get. Well, no, I do get it. That's what it is. I think it's the, yeah, I'm going to exercise my liberties. I'm going to get out. I'm going to drive crazy. But is it worth it? I mean, some of these crashes are awful. And when someone walks away from them, I'm shocked. So Americans drove about 325 billion more miles last year. Wow, that's 11.2% higher than in 2020. We know what contributed to the increase. It pandemic. So the speeding, driving when impaired with alcohol and drugs, I think the biggest one, though, distracted driving. I see that constantly. I guarantee you see it. Think about it. Today, were you driving? Did you see anybody who was doing the distracted driving thing? You know, if you're texting, pull over. Jeez, give me a break. Just pull over in a parking lot. Listen, I don't know. I don't answer the phone. I pull over, whatever I have to do, because I would be distracted. I can focus. I have intense focus. I'm a good listener because I can focus. I think with doing the show, I can focus on what I have to focus. I plant my feet where I am. But here's the thing. I, too, could be distracted in a car. So I'm not going to have a yak, yak, yak conversation or try to text, because just when I think it's safe, that's when somebody comes out of nowhere and they could smash into me or my family or whoever. But pretty sad that it's gone up as high as it's gone up. And to me, the part of their strategy, I don't know that it works. I mean, do you think that people are dissuaded by speed cameras? Does that stop you because you know there's a camera, you don't want to get a ticket? Maybe, but you're thinking normally. If somebody doesn't care, and if somebody's, let's say they're loaded, you're not thinking about that. If that's the case, if they're impaired, if they're distracted, are they really thinking about that? I don't know. To me, I'd say no. Of course, you have to work on it. I mean, whatever can be done should be done. But, I mean, here's a tip, right? I'm not here to lecture anyone. If you get loaded, if you go to a happy hours and you're hanging out, it's just fun, just take an Uber. And friends should definitely not let friends drive drunk. I would never let that happen with one of my friends. Get an Uber. Get them an Uber. Drive them home. Whatever. You could end some of those traffic deaths anyway, because that's a pretty sad 16-year high. We talk about ransomware and cybersecurity all the time on this show. So there's a ransomware gang that actually infiltrated some Costa Rican government computer systems, and they're upping the threat. You know what they say now? The goal is to overthrow the government. Seriously. And they're seizing on the fact that President Rodrigo Chavez has been in office for only a week. So the Russian-speaking Conti gang, this is the gang, tried to increase the pressure to pay a ransom by raising the demand to $20 million. Chavez said in a news conference this week, on Monday, that the attack was coming from inside as well as outside of Costa Rica. He says, we're at war, and that's no exaggeration. So they're really stuck. It's a broad impact. 27 government institutions, municipalities, state-run utilities, all have been affected by this. And he's blaming his predecessor for not investing in cybersecurity and not aggressively dealing with the attacks in the last days of his government. So, I mean, this is a real problem. What do you do? It's disrupting everyday life. This potential is real. And they're not functioning. When you've got systems that are critical that aren't functioning, look, the U.S. State Department even offered a $10 million reward for any information leading to the identification of these Conti leaders. This is the real problem in the world. This is not the next frontier. It's where we are right now. And if you've listened to the show, you know we've had some great experts on who've talked about that. They've been screaming for a long time about cybersecurity, that cybersecurity is only taken seriously in many cases when there's a disaster, and that's too late. If there were things in place before the disaster, then maybe this government, it wouldn't be in the situation they're in. You know, the FBI is saying that as of January 2022, there had been 1,000 victims of attacks that are associated with this Conti ransomware, with victims paying out, you know, $150 million. So this ransomware variation is the costliest strain of ransomware ever documented. And when you're stuck, I mean, this is a government, when you're stuck, what do you do? You don't negotiate with terrorists or cyber criminals. You have no choice unless there's some backdoor way to wiggle out of it. And unfortunately, there isn't. And so often the stranglehold is too intense to not deal with it, and they know it. And that's why ransomware is so such an incredibly powerful tool for the evildoers in the world who want money, and know where to go to get that money, because if you don't hand over the cool cash, you find yourself out of luck because you can't crack the code. So this is the time to amp up the security. The two identification, just in your own personal life, the two identifications, the authentication, do that. I recently did it because I know I had my own problems. All right, hang with us. No problems here. Anyway, tonight we're flipping over to the other side.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original Pure Palo de Arco Super Tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Palo de Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Palo de Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Ewan McPherson has written a book that I think is so fascinating. It's called A Dagger for Catherine Douglas. Ewan, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
The story itself, you and I talked off the air, and it actually, you actually were kind of turned on, so to speak, by the story or introduced to it when you were 10 years old. And I think it's fascinating. Now this has come full circle. And kind of in a nutshell, did it just stick with you and you decided that you would write this book?
No, I think it took me a long, long time to decide to write the book. When I was 10 years old, I was in hospital and my mother gave me a history book to read because I was in hospital and I wasn't at school. And she thought she was doing me a favor because I'm not at school. She's giving me this history book. I can keep up to date with my history. And so I was reading the book and now, your listeners will be familiar with some things in Scottish history, like Sir William Wallace and Robert Bruce. Obviously, they'll have seen Mel Gibson in Braveheart. So that was, you know, the beginning of the 14th century. Now, here we are 100 years later. It's 1437, and there's an assassination attempt on the life of King James I. This is James I of Scotland. There was another James I. He was James I of Great Britain, but we'll leave that one alone for the moment. So this is James I of Scotland. There's an assassination attempt on his life, and at the time I was 10 years old and I was used to stories like Batman, cowboy films, whatever, you know, which always had endings in which, you know, the good guys won, justice was delivered, always, you know, this is always what I was expecting. And we have an assassination attempt on the king, so what happens is five armed men try to approach the king or attack the king. It's midnight, he's in his chambers, and the king flees to his royal bedchamber, but the assassins were prepared for this, and they'd removed the bolt from the door. So it was a slide rail bracket, you know, you just slide the bolt along the rail. They'd removed the bolt, the king could not bolt the door. And Catherine Douglas, who was a lady in waiting, she put her arm through the brackets to shut the door while these assassins were approaching. And when I was reading the story for the first time, I was just expecting a happy ending. I was just expecting Catherine, she would hold off these assailants, the king's life would be saved. That's what I was expecting to read. And I was shocked when I didn't read it, because this is real life we're talking about. This isn't a Batman film or whatever, you know, this is real life. And the assassins broke the door down on top of Catherine, and then we got into the bedchamber. But the thing was, what was actually important about this was Catherine had held the door. She'd held the door, or held them back long enough for the king to rip up the floorboards in his bedchamber and get down into the sewer. There was a sewer underneath the bedchamber. And the queen then rolled the carpet over the hole that was now in the floor. So when the assassins came in, there was no king. So in a sense, Catherine did a very good job. She held that door long enough to let the king out into the sewer. You can't really just hide a hole in the floor, though, and the assassins rolled back the carpet. Here's the hole. Five of them went down, and they killed the king in the sewer. So there was two things to this, really. The king was killed in the sewer. I mean, that wasn't something I was expecting to read. And Catherine, they just broke the door down on top of her. I wasn't expecting that. And there I was, 10 years old. I put this book down and I never picked it up again. I was so upset by this story. You know, I just thought, history is not for me. I can't read this. So I put it down and never went back to the book. But it made an impression on me, that story, because here I am. I'm not saying how many years later, but it's a few years later. Here I am, just, you know, writing a book about it. It was just good. It made a deep impression on me.
Boy, and Catherine Douglas must have been some woman if we think about that, because, as you said, the fact that she held them off with the door of this one woman against these assassins. What would you say, just by piecing this together, the kind of woman she was like?
Well, she had to be loving and giving, and obviously, you know, I don't think there was anything in her life, anything in her background that could have prepared her for this. She was a lady in waiting, so she was really just there to keep the queen company when the king was not there, to look after the royal children, you know, to do just do the various tasks around the court that, you know, a lady in waiting might do, a little bit of needlework, sewing, whatever. Nothing in her background, nothing could have prepared her for, you know, here you are on your own, you've got to hold off five armed men. You know, nothing in her background, but she did it. And she did it instinctively. And I think, to me, this is just, you know, it's the instinctiveness of a mother who will protect her children. And you won't think about the danger, you'll just do it. You know, and I think it's that, what I would call, you know, female sacrifice. You know, it's just something that, you know, it's the woman's role, if, you know, it's just a natural thing for her to have done. And so I would say she was loving, giving. You know, she was there. Her role was to serve the queen. She served the queen in this way by trying to save the king's life. I think she was somebody who didn't think very much about herself in this situation. You know, I don't know what she was thinking, what went through her mind, but, you know, she was obviously just trying to help the king, the queen. She wasn't thinking about the consequences for herself, because if you put your arm through the brackets and you know, these men are going to try and come through this door, you know that it's not going to be a pleasant outcome for you, whatever happens.
Well, isn't that the truth? The book is called A Dagger for Catherine Douglas. We're speaking with Ewan McPherson. You can get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever great books are sold. What do you hope people listening to our conversation and buying your book and reading the story, what do you hope they walk away with?
Yeah, two things, I suppose. I mean, fundamentally, I just hope they enjoy reading the book and get enthralled in it and can't put it down. And you know, and I hope they just step into this world. And although this is not a fantasy, this is a true story. So we're in Scotland in the year 1437. It's a true story. But at the same time, it's an escape from, you know, whatever world you're in right now. You know, this is escape into a different world. So I hope they enjoy it, and it works as a piece of escapism, getting in this other world and just explore the world of these characters. I hope they enjoy it and get a moment of escape from it. But I also hope they come away thinking a little bit about Catherine. I mean, Catherine, we're talking about a historical person here. This is not fiction, or, you know, this part of the story is not fiction. And so we're talking about a historical person who was put into a situation. And I think sometimes, you know, in life can throw you into situations that you're not prepared for, you know, and, you know, how do you deal with it? And sometimes we discover strengths in ourselves that we never knew we had, you know, and that can happen to all of us. You think, my gosh, how did I do that? And she's just put in a situation where, she showed a lot of courage, self-sacrifice. You know, obviously she wasn't thinking about herself. She's thinking about other people. How do I serve other people? She wasn't somebody, so she could not have been somebody who thought about herself or thought about the consequences of herself. It was just a case of, how do I help the king in this situation? She was, just thinking about her duty. Or if, you know, so how would I describe Catherine? I think loving and giving. Brave. And I think, you know, one of the things I suppose I admire about her is, you know, when you see people do things that you might not have the courage to do yourself, or I'm thinking in that situation, how would I react in that situation? Well, you don't know until you're in that situation, but, you know, I think it took a lot to put your arm in that bracket and try and hold the door back. I wonder, if I'd be in that situation, what would I have done? The answer is I don't know. But what happens is circumstances throw us into situations, and you can just find reserves of strength that you never knew you had. So what do I hope they get from it? I hope they learn a little bit about Catherine. She's a real person. We should know more about her than we do. So I hope they learn a little bit about Catherine, and I just hope they enjoy the story.
Yeah, and what a story. You're a great storyteller, and I love the way you summed that all up. There's so much that you could actually really pull from this. The name of the book is A Dagger for Catherine Douglas. Like I said, Ewan McPherson, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
I love listening to Ewan McPherson and his story. It really made me think about Shakespeare and how could he possibly have done some of what he did. How could we possibly pay $6 a gallon for gas? Of course we can. Now analysts at J.P. Morgan, oh, they're the bearers of bad news. I was reading something today that they're warning that, yep, we could see what's happening in California because they've hit $6. We could see that the national average goes up to $6 a gallon by the end of summer. I filled up today, and I feel like it's fortunate because it was under $5. A miracle, truly. So the inventories when it comes to gasoline, I talked about the refineries just the other night. We're at the lowest levels for inventory since 2019. So how do you satisfy that during the summer season when it's drive time? People go so many places. So fill up now and figure out ways to conserve that gasoline, my best advice. Thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.